Welcome to Sharing the Word. I'm your host, Dr. Driver. We've been finishing up and pretty much working on our series called End Time Prophecy According to the New Testament. The New Testament consists of three main Gospels that talk about Jesus' words regarding the end times, and we found that in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, and Luke 21. As we prepare for the series, we started off in Matthew 24, we moved into Mark 13, and now we're moving into Luke as well. But there's some overlap on some information. There's some things that are very repetitively spoken by Jesus. The Gospels were written by the apostles. And so what I want to do today is kind of highlight a couple of points that is very important, and it also relates to our upcoming series called God versus Mammon. Now, my friends, I know you've been listening faithfully to our messages here on our podcast, as well as on our YouTube channel and on Galilee TV, but let me just share this with you. The days are dark. The days are dark. And the Bible talks about it in times. Even Jesus said this through the Gospels as well. There'll be trouble worldwide. And I know when you look at the news, and when I look at the news, my spirit bears witness that the words of the Bible, the words of Christ, if you will, are true. It comes to life for me. And I don't panic. I'm not nervous. I go, yep, this is what the Bible says. Now, there are those that are living in the world today that see the travail that's on the earth, and they're in panic mode. They're in worried mode. And we see a lot of conflict worldwide. So when we go through these end time moments, ask yourself this question. This is important. Ask yourself this question. Are you at peace with it? Meaning, if you believe that the Word of God is true, it's alive, it's active, sharper than a double-edged sword, cutting through the soul and heart and marrow, it judges the thoughts and intents of man's heart, this is in Hebrews 4, then you already know the Word of God is true. Let every man be a liar, but God's Word be true. And so I don't worry, I don't panic of what I see happening around the world, or when I watch the news, or when I go to work, or when I see just people just being in frantic mode, or literally being in, I call, the flesh. So Jesus gives us, through the Gospels, what he indicated would happen in the last days. Then Paul talks about it through Thessalonians. He tells Timothy what would happen in the last days. Peter talks about it as well. Jude. And then, of course, we get into the revelation of Apostle John. And we look at all that information. And we ask ourselves, are we ready? Here's the question. Are we ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? My friends, you have to ask that question. Are you ready? And if you are ready, then stand up, look up, because your redemption does draw near. You won't be, what I would say, afraid. That living hope that is in you would just really stir you up and say, oh, I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to be raptured, if you will. And if I die, like Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is to gain, then I just look for that return, or to be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. For we already know the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are left alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So I move through my days, my friends, knowing that when I read the Gospels, when I read the Apostles, even when I go into the Old Testament, talks about end times as well, but staying in the New Testament, I'm encouraged. I have to be honest, when I watch the news, I go, yep, that's what the Bible says is going to happen in these last days. I just kind of go, yes. Most of the time when I prepare for my studies and sermons here, I look at the news and I just go, wow, I kind of miss watching Jack Van Impe and some other ones that I used to watch all the time as well that are end time prophets, if you will. I just love eschatology, the study of end times. And so I just really look at what's going on and I just say my treasure is in heaven. If you listen to my last podcast, I talked about treasure in heaven. It's like investing. You know, I look at investing when I was young, meaning in the military, you know, you put money away, you save up, you have savings, you have, you know, all these in your portfolio, you have a 401k perhaps, you have, you know, stocks, bonds, CDs, all those different things that are in a portfolio, and you can't touch it. You can't touch it until you reach that federal regulatory, I guess, category of being called retired at 65, Social Security at 66 or 67. So how many people are looking forward? Listen, this is important. How many people are looking forward to their retirement when they're in their 30s or maybe 40s? Not many think about it because they probably go, you know what, that's 30, 40 years down the road, maybe 30 or 25. But the point is, when I was young, I didn't think about retiring in my 20s at 65. It's down the road. I'm living my life of the now. I'm living my life, you know, like in today's mindset, meaning I'm 27 or I'm 30 years old and I'm thinking about tomorrow. I'm thinking about next week or next year. I'm not thinking about reaching that that golden moment, the golden years of 65 and called retired, where you just live off your investments or your portfolio or your Social Security. I wasn't really thinking that far down the road. But then things changed. When you're a believer, you live each day. This is the difference. I want you to hear the contrast. You live each day as it is the day of the Lord. I didn't live each day as the day of my retirement, but today as a believer, even 10 years ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago, I live each day as it is the day of the Lord. When I had my prayer group there in Glendale, Arizona, back in the early 80s, going to the mountain called White Tanks Mountain there, for those who ever been there, I used to love being up there by myself and praying that the Lord will return soon. I was in my early 20s, so I am praying as a young prayer warrior and then called to the ministry to preach. I'm like, Lord, I'm 25, 26 years old, called to preach. And I'm like, Lord, come now. I wasn't thinking about Social Security or pension plans. I was thinking about the day of the Lord coming today. And the Bible tells us that we must be looking for his return because he is coming. Listen to me, my friends. He is coming to redeem, to take his church, his bride. Oh, my goodness. The Lord is coming for his bride, and we have to be looking. He's coming for those who are looking for his return. I want to be the five wise virgins, not the five foolish. You need to prepare for the day of the Lord. I'm not saying not to invest for your future down the road, and this is also bridging from end times to God versus mammon, but the whole point here is don't live your life focused on monetary investments of your future, because any day, something can happen, meaning your life could be taken this very hour. So I live each day hoping and praying that I am pleasing the Lord in my coming in and my going out. I plead the blood of Jesus to cover me wherever I go. So it's good to have plans, but remember, you can plan everything you want in your life, but the Lord will direct your steps, my friends. And so I look for the return of the Lord Jesus. I hope you do as well. And so as you're listening to this series in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, and 21, let's really just be encouraged so you can share the testimony you have in Christ. Share what you believe about his return to those who do not have hope, who don't share the same belief systems or feelings you have, but you want to share that living hope. Always being prepared. Listen to me. Being prepared to give a defense of the hope that's in you, according to 1 Peter 3. So live each day as it is the day of the Lord, because you never know what can happen tonight. For those who are fixated about pension plans, retirements, monies, their salaries, all this, that's what the Bible warns us about. Don't get fixated on that, because the rust and moth and thieves can steal it, destroy it. Then what happens? What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his soul? My friends, I'm blessed. You're blessed. Don't fixate on the worldly things that God has given you, because it will pass away, and the Lord giveth and the Lord does take away. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and he will add all things unto you, my friends. So I don't fixate on those things. And so the joy of the Lord truly is my strength. Now, look, I sit at my podcast booth here, and I'm recording this. And most of the time when I'm in the studio recording this, I really think to myself, could the Lord rapture me during the podcast? I've always wondered that. What would happen? I pray that the messages that are out there, people are listening to them. And I just say, Lord, am I speaking what you want me to tell your people? Am I preaching your word, Lord? Am I pleasing you in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions? Because at any hour, as your word declares, O Lord my God, you will come like a thief in the night, in the twinkling of an eye. So that's why I don't fixate on the things of this world. I think about the things of heaven, as we read last episode about laying up treasures in heaven. So with the time that we have remaining, I always seem to want to ask questions to an audience that will not be able to respond unless they send me an email or, you know, somehow, you know, post a note somewhere through our social media sites as well. But here's another question. Would you be encouraged? Would you be encouraged if the Christians that are around you have the same hope that you have that Jesus will come soon? Those are the kind of people you really need to be around. I'm tired of being around, you know, sour Sandy or, you know, depressed Andy. I want to be around Christians and believers that really have that living hope that the Lord Jesus Christ, and his word is true. Just reading Matthew 24, just looking at Mark 13, looking at the Gospels, just read what Jesus said. And my friends, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He only speaks truth. So when I'm reading the Gospels, his word is true, and it's going to happen. I believe he's coming soon. So I want to surround myself with believers that share that hope, not getting a believer that kind of sees the news, watches the news, or hangs around people that make them depressed. Because why would you be depressed as a Christian? Your living hope is you could be twinkling, a twinkle of an eye, changed in a moment. You can be with the Lord just like that. That's my living hope. The Holy Spirit has given me that assurance and that peace, knowing that God's word is true. And that at any moment, two could be in the field, one taken, one left. Two could be grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Two could be laying in the bedroom, one taken, one left. Hopefully both will be taken if you're married. But my point is, he said he will come like a thief in the night. Are you prepared? Are you really looking forward to his return? And if you are, then live each day with the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And that's why I like talking to believers, and I have a prayer group, a network group of people that I share my living hope in Christ that he's coming. And sometimes it is very disappointing that even when they know they're going to be raptured, they're very discouraged, they're very... anxiety-driven because of the things that are on the earth, what's happening in our government or across the globe. And I tell them, God is on the throne. God is on the throne, my friends. Yes, Satan may run things, if you will, on this planet, but God is on the throne, and he puts leaders in place. He sees what's happening. He is the Lord of heaven's army. God is in charge of your life. Then trust in him. Plead the blood of Jesus. Declare and decree Psalm 91 over your life and over your family. Do I hear an amen? That's how you get through it. You may suffer trials and tribulations, but count it all joy, according to James chapter 1. So I try to live my days knowing that the day of the Lord is at hand. And when we continue to live in a world that is full of greed. And the Bible says in the last days that people be lovers of self versus lovers of God, have a form of godliness but lack the power thereof. They'd be greedy. They'd be whoremongers. They'll be haters of good. You see it everywhere. But look at the good news. The good news is the Bible said that was going to happen. That will happen. And we're living through it, my friends. See, that's the word coming to life for you. So be encouraged. When you see these things, Jesus said, stand up, look up, for your redemption does draw near. My friends, with the few minutes that I have left on this podcast on sharing the word, there's so much I would love to spend time talking about. But, you know, sometimes you get limited with your time. But if you would just really pray for your family, pray for yourself and say, Lord, give me, I pray, O Lord, my God, the joy of the Lord that is my strength. That is you, Lord God. Pray Psalm 23, Psalm 35, 36, 139. Pray those Psalms, Psalm 91. My friends, don't lose hope. Keep on praying and pray in the Holy Spirit as the Word tells us to do that. The Holy Spirit does intercede for us with words too great for us to moan, according to Romans 8. So when we are praying in these last days, as Paul even told, you know, Timothy and the Corinthians and Romans, he said it to Titus, pray for your leaders. Pray for your leadership, your government leaders as well. Doesn't matter who you voted for, pray for them. This is the only way you're going to be able to endure and persevere in these last days. The Bible says endure hardship. Listen to me. Endure hardship as a believer. Once you are able to persevere and endure the hardship, you will share the crown of glory that Jesus has reserved for you. Don't give up. Don't turn away from him. Don't be part of the apostasy that's going to happen in the end times. Hang in there. Count it all joy. Know that those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer trials and tribulation. You know that. Live it. Continue to read Matthew 24 and 25. Read Mark 13, Luke 17 and 21. Read the Gospels. Read the Word of God and dive into the Scriptures and swim there. Tread, if you will, in the waters of the Holy Ghost in the Word of God so you feel comforted. My friends, you will feel comforted knowing that God's Word is true. So my friends, as we close and we can continue this discussion in our next episode, please take the time to pray for your neighbors, pray for your family members, pray for those you work with, and show the light of Jesus Christ. When you show the light of Jesus Christ, because they'll see it in your eyes. Listen to me, my friends. They'll see it in your eyes. They'll ask you, what is it about you during these difficult times that you seem so bright, you seem so illuminated, you seem so joyful? Give them that testimony. Tell them Jesus is the light of this world. Yes, the world is full of darkness today, but Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We're going to talk more in detail about that in my next episode, but before we close, let me read why the light of Jesus is important. Because when you look at a believer, if they're truly a believer, their eyes will reflect that the light of Christ is in them. And so when you pray for everyone, you are hanging around believers that truly share the same goal and vision you have, serving the Lord each day, knowing that at any hour, at any time, the rapture could occur. You want to be around people who share that same drive and zeal for the Lord's return. So you want to be that person that shows the light of Christ. If you're depressed, your eyes are going to show it. If you're happy, your eyes are going to show it. Amen? When you think about why the lamp, if you will, the body, the lamp, the eyes of the soul, if you're not having the light of Christ shining, how is man going to ever ask you, what is your living hope? Be a lamp. Be a lamp. Don't hide your light under the table. Jesus said this. Let your light shine brightly to draw people to ask, what is it that's going on in your life? You seem so happy all the time. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, who rose from the grave, sits at the right hand of glory, and he's coming back for his church. That's why I have this living hope. Hallelujah. So we're going to go into more detail in our next episode, but let me read Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, my friends, there's ways of breaking this down to understand what the gospel is saying. The writings are very clear that if you have the light of Christ, you're going to be more of a generous person. You're going to be a person of love, because how does the world know that you're a child of God? It's by the love that you show. Jesus' eyes. Just imagine how Jesus looked at people, those loving eyes. So when you have the light of Christ in you, you reflect what Jesus is in you. But if your eye is dark, then you show the darkness of your soul, which could be stingy, and you're miserable, you're negative, you're gossipy. All the things that reflect on a bad countenance, which is on you, people will see that. You're fixated on the things of this world instead of the things of God. You will be walking and showing in your countenance you're in darkness. But if you trust the Lord, who is your hope, your light will shine brightly and people will see it, my friends. Please remember that. In these last days, be the light in this dark world. May God bless you. May God keep you. May his face shine upon you. Go show the world that Jesus Christ is Lord by loving one another. Join me again on another episode of Sharing the Word.